The 149th Psalm, Whom Do I Persuade? This is a glorious, glorious psalm. I don't know why I've never preached on it. Don't know why others haven't. He said, Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Do you see that? Saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. I like it. Let them praise unto him with the timbrel and harp. I really like it, you see. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in the glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Now listen, these next two verses are what I really want us to dwell on this morning. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Incredible. The power and the honor that God has given his saints. And I think it's possible we're about to use some of these powers. So I'd ask you this morning, where and when shall we stand for the faith? True religion versus false religion. I got a text less than an hour ago, and a friend of mine, and they're going to church in town, and it reminds me of the drive-in theaters, if you know what those are, and they're all out in their cars listening. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. We're here in person this morning, those of us that were able, okay? True religion versus false religion. God's religion versus man's religion. Have we not left off in our warfare? You see, I think we often forget, because of this love God portrayed, that we're at war. If you're a saint of God, when you're saved, when you're born again in the Spirit of God, then you realize, whoa, I'm at war. There's a war going on, you see. Most know not even that we be at war. And I wonder sometimes, have we become them? Now you think about that. Have we become them? That's my question this day. Have we become them? The Bible says, Jeremiah, cursed be the man that trusts in man. Have we become them? He said, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Now we're all certainly in the world, but we are not to be of the world. He said, come out and be ye separate. You see, where is the living God in our midst? See, I serve a living God. When I got born again, the Spirit of Christ, Christ actually came in me. Now, I'm not preaching some cultic thing. That's what happened. If I didn't have a Bible, that's what happened to me, you see. So we have this Bible. Is it just a history book? Is that what it is? You stop there. Look at your life. Examine yourselves. Know you not your own selves. I preach this all the time. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine your own selves. You don't even know your own self. Rather, Christ be in you. I mean Christ in you, not some history lesson, not some taught dogma. What about your prayer life, your fasting? I mean, people have never fasted. The disciples asked him, he said, this sort of faith cometh not but by much prayer and fasting. Your worship, how is it? As our text, are the high praises of God in your mouth throughout the day, throughout your life. is the two-edged sword in your hand. Did you see that? And a two-edged sword in the hand of what? To execute vengeance on the heathen. We may have that opportunity very, very soon. So I might die. Yeah, amen. I was born to die. We were all born to die. How do you want to die? As God intended. Like a man. What happened to our crusade for Christ? What you see, we've become soft, even in our religion. The living God living and powering through each and every one of us. We serve the same living God that brought fire upon the prophets of Baal with Elijah. That God hadn't changed. And they not only saw the fire, they felt the sword when Elijah himself took the heads off 6,000, I forget. He was a little tired. The living God versus the God that doesn't even exist. They were gathered around these prophets of Baal. Baal's not a dead God. He's not a God at all. Baal, Buddha, Allah, all the rest they can come up with. They're not gods at all. They're just thoughts and imaginations of men's minds. Man-made God of man-made imagination. No more God than this lamp. Why, you can make a God of anything, and we do daily. And yet, here we are, professing Christ, claiming to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. The living God actually living in our mortal bodies. And we're weak as women. God help us. We say we can do all things through Christ, but we do nothing. We're weak as those about us who but serve man and those that are not gods at all. And yet we profess to have the living God, Christ Jesus, living in us. I might wonder if we have the power to show his existence as Elijah. Where is our evidence of things not seen? You see. I know we hope for. The faith. Faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. But where's the evidence of things not seen? The living God in us. Let's see. Abel, he offered, the Bible says, a more excellent sacrifice. Enoch, he was translated. He walked with God and was taken. Noah prepared an ark. What's an ark? Abraham went out. He didn't know where he was going. Where are you going, Abraham? I don't know. What? You moving? Yeah. Where are you going? I don't know. And what shall be said, the Bible says, of the rest? What shall be said of you and I? We're living history today. And all of this was prior to Calvary. Before they had living God in them. Before they were born again of the Spirit of God. Before they were converted. Before they could eat his flesh and drink his blood. You see. And we've the Holy Ghost. He said, I won't leave you comfortless. He said, it's expedient that I go. If I don't go, I can't leave the Holy Ghost. I'm going to leave my spirit. Right now, I'm walking like a man like you. I'm going to die. I'm going to shed my blood. I'm going to pay for your sins. I'm going to leave the power of the Holy Ghost. He's going to come on you. He's going to live in you. We walk around like mortal men. We see the saints, the high praises of God in your mouth, two-edged sword in your hand to execute vengeance. Most often we can't get out of our own way. We'd go to church. They'd go to the churches and sing Kumbaya and hug each other. What's become of us? Yeah, we dress just so here in our midst. We perhaps speak more piously than others. We live clean, you might say, as such. But our power, our living God, our salt, our light. Churches today have replaced such with conferences and committees. All sorts of things. Why, they have coffee shops and they have ball teams and they have this, that, and the other. Much ado. Just keep them busy and we'll tell them it's the Holy Spirit. That's what they do. I've assigned you folks nothing. Ever. I've received the same. You better consider that. You see, I've no desire to create a Baal or even to pretend to create God in you. And that's what they do. Oh, if you'll just come down front, or you'll do this, and or you'll say this prayer, or you do this or this, and then you have... Listen, salvation's of the Lord. It's not of man. There was no man there when Christ came into my body. There was no music playing. I'd reached the end of my way. I'd come to myself. Or do I now? Paul said, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? That's what the Apostle Paul said. He never once tried to persuade men. Not once. Nor have I. Christ on the cross, he never, listen, go back and read. Read your Bible. Christ never, never, ever tried to persuade the first man. He was persuading the Father. He was pleased. He said, I'm only here for one reason. My Father's will. And that's what you and I should be about. God's will, persuading God. Not me or anyone else. My preaching isn't persuading like that fella up the country, Hopkins, or any of the rest of them. My preaching's a warning. He said, warn them. Warn the wicked. Warn the righteous. That's what I'm doing this morning. Those of faith, Noah, he never tried. He never, listen, they preach it, but it's not in the Bible. He never tried to convince the first man to get on the ark. Is any man called of God? Preach righteousness. Preach righteousness. This is righteousness. Abraham, where are you going? I don't know. Y'all want to go with me? No. Look around. They don't want to go with me either. And I know where I'm going. Abel, he offered a better sacrifice. What? Blood. He offered blood. Was it Jefferson that said that what liberty had to be salted every now and again with the blood? Patriots. He didn't. You know what his brother bought to kill him? Carrots. Lettuce. I don't know. Whatever he was growing. That didn't cost him much. Come out of the cursed ground. God had cursed the ground. Who was he persuading? Who was Abel persuading? He was persuading God. And he did it with blood. His only begotten son persuaded God one way. With blood! When you kill and shed blood, you're serious. It's serious business. You deal in it. I'm asking, who are you persuading, men or God? Who are you pleasing? I'm set to please only God. And if I didn't, I wouldn't be the servant of Christ Jesus. I wouldn't have Christ in me. That's why we've never had many. I've never tried to please men. I've never told them what they want to hear. It's quite contrary. I tell them the last thing they want to hear. The last thing men want is the truth. And that's the basis of a man of God. He knows but one thing, truth. Whom it is he seeks to persuade or please. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. And so for this, are we turned back to the weak, Paul said, to the weak and beggarly elements? Look at them today. Why, they'd take that vaccine. They'd willingly, they're going to line up to take that ID. They're going to take that mark. And the religious crowd will be leading the parade. And they might kill those of us that don't. It's foretold. Read it. Revelation 13. More excellent sacrifice. Paul said, I'm not. Anyway, he said, I'm willing. You notice maybe today, I don't spend a lot of time anymore preaching on such issues as headship in the home. I mean, it's very important. Tithing, the way that you dress or look, painted faces on women and pants on women and such. Are these relevant issues? Relevant? Yes, of course they are. But they're elementary. It's first grade, you see. That was just the beginning. Shouldn't even have to teach that to a child of God. You get Christ in you, you're going to look just like he wants you to. You're going to act just like he wants you to. I'm near the end of my sojourn. You say, well, it's easy for you. You're old. Yeah, well, I got news for you. Dying's the same at 33 as it is at 73. It's still dying. A bullet wound at 33 or 73, still a bullet wound, you see. I would wonder of your power in Christ Jesus, your gifts, your talents and such. We'd all do well to learn of the woman in Proverbs 31. There's a great lesson there. Verse 26 of Proverbs 31 states, God said, she openeth her mouth with wisdom. And then God said, let her own works praise her in the gates. Folks, that's, let our own works praise us in the gates. Not just words. Use your words for wisdom. Use your works for praise. And may it be ever so. He said, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Did you hear it? You keep that psalm on your lips. And as this thing gets deeper and more involved and the world gets crazier, you go back to that 149th psalm and you read that thing. I tell them at work, we don't have anything to fear but fear itself. No, the only thing we got to fear is old white guys with guns. And God. Unfortunately for most, the praises of God's not in their mouth nor a two-edged sword in their hand. Most are just simply in churches today, just children in a history class. Reading what was and what's to be, but not what is today. God said only today, always today. He said, give no thought for the morrow. Seek the old paths. That's the good way. Whom do I persuade? History is today. And I leave you with, what's your part in it? You see, we live in a world that's content without God. You can't say we don't. The people aren't crying out today for God. They're crying out for Bill Gates and those like him, or Donald Trump, or somebody else. Whoever's got the vaccine, the antidote, so they can live in this miserable world. Content in sin. They want to live normally, but without God. You watch, it won't be God they're crying for. It'll be Barabbas. Pilate offered him Christ. He said, no, give us Barabbas. I can offer him Christ and you will. No, give us Bill Gates and the vaccine. You just wait. Hey, let the praises of God be on your mouth. And let the two-edged sword be in your hand. Glory to God. I don't know, but I'm going on. I'm going on. If they take my life, there'll be another one behind me. And one day he's coming back with 10,000 saints taking vengeance and fire on those that obeyed not his word. Glory to God. That's my captain. That's my Savior. And that's my life in Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord. The blessing of the new birth in Christ Jesus. A new creature in Christ. That I can do all things. It's all worked out. It's all laid out. It's a scroll. It's going to end just like you said it was. It began just like you said it was. And those of us that you've deemed saints, we got a part in it. How glorious. How marvelous. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.